At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Hello and welcome to podcast 3 of JRE Review. We're moving on strong, and thank you guys for downloading in. We had a Scandinavian downloader. Whoever you are, I appreciate it. Do it again. Let us know what you think of this stuff, and I'm going to just crack on. This is for week 24 of the Joe Rogan podcast. We've got Tom Popper on this week, podcast 1129. We got Adam Frank. We got MMA 31. With Joe Schilling, legend, and then ending the week 11:31 with Dave Rubin, comedian, libertarian, opinionated guy. And today, for the first time, I have a buddy of mine, Eddie. What's up, Eddie?
Hey, brother. How you doing, buddy?
Good, man. It's good to have you here. And finally,
thank you so much.
Having a conversation instead of me just waffling on my own, which must sound ridiculous to a lot of these guys, but. There you go. This is how we're going to do it. We're going to have some guests on every now and again. We're going to shoot the shit and see what Joe Rogan's been up to. So, again, starting off, Tom Popper, great comedian, one of my favorite comedians, as always, comes on with his bread. So what he does, he's a comedian that's up at the Comedy Store all the time. I think mainly he's out of New York.
Okay.
Hilarious dude. And what he does when he's on Rogan's is he's always taking bread on there, like as a gift. It's like, here you go, Joe, I make this bread.
Here's
right?
A loaf, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, you know how people get. They get goofy, get cooking. They love this stuff. So he takes it on, and Joe's been loving this bread because it's great. Well, so many damn people listen to his podcast that it's taken off.
Oh, my God.
Most of the questions he gets on social media are like, hey, how's my bread look? Can I get some feedback? And all these things.
Oh, well, that's so cool.
The amazing thing about it is this week he announced that he got his own cooking show for, like, Discovery.
Oh,
well,
yeah.
it's not really a cooking show, but he gets to travel around the country.
Discovery would do that, yeah.
And it's like checking out bakeries. And he got it through this connection.
That is so cool.
Yeah. So he's saying of all the years doing comedy, of all the things, of all the pilots he's tried to go out for to get.
Exactly,
to,
yeah.
He goes on Rogan and they give him a bread show. And it's
that's amazing.
Dude, ridiculous, right?
Especially with media like that. All they kind of hear, a little bit of what you do, what your interests are, and it just kind of sparks a lot of stuff. That's great.
Yeah, and it's nice that he gets to do what he loves anyway, instead of some bullshit pilot. Like, you're an actor.
Yeah, of course,
You take whatever good role that they give you, right? I mean, if it's paying.
Yeah, of course,
but you'd way prefer to have a role that was, like, connected to something you love than, like...
Yeah, that would be nice, instead of, like, oh, here you go.
You're the rapist.
Well, you know what I mean, yeah.
The recurring rapist.
Yeah, hey, I do what
like,
I gotta
oh,
do.
Oh, hang
you know?
On. You do it.
Yeah. I had a buddy of mine who did back-to-back, I was maybe like 10 years ago, back-to-back ones like that, and he hasn't really worked since.
Just like roles he didn't like? Or?
No, back-to-back as the rapist kind of thing.
Oh, yeah, well...
there, yeah.
I wonder, as an actor, it's got to make you question, what do you see in me that... You're like, I think I'm going to get a different haircut.
Yeah.
I need to I need to dress differently. Maybe stop licking my lips all the time. I don't know. Fuck around. But yeah, so that's badass for him. And of course, through that, through anything cooking, Joe has to bring up a good friend of his, someone that's been on the podcast, someone who I love as well. And we all have heard about it, the Anthony Bourdain issue.
I'm a big fan, yeah.
Dude,
I'm a
right?
Big fan.
It just fucking breaks my heart to hear anyone get to a point where they can't see it. And, you know, in a way, it's terrifying.
Yeah.
Because you'd think on paper he has everything, right? You would think he's got the show, the fame, cool as fuck, knows everyone.
He was like,
and still,
he was like a rock star of the culinary world. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, you know, he was just traveled everywhere. The cool thing about his show that I really liked is that you learned all different kind of foods you would never ever think of.
Right?
You're like going, I wouldn't eat that. And then you see Anthony. Yeah, sure, I'll try. And he's eating with rich people. He's reading, eating with like people with no, you know, but just in rural areas,
regular folks.
And you're like, dude,
yeah,
that's pretty cool.
And I mean, parts unknown.
Yeah,
what a great name. Like, absolutely perfect.
Yeah.
And fuck me, what a great show. He just got in there. And his poetry or use of language was almost as delicious to hear as I'm sure much of the food is that he made. You know what I mean? He was a master of, like, crafting just how he would describe the place and then the people and, like, their connection with food. And it's almost like he saw everything that way.
Yeah, which is interesting, too. I don't know if, especially from, you know, early on from being, you know, a heroin user and that kind of stuff, a junkie, and then coming out of it, you see something a little more clearer. And it's just like when he, like, traveling, you're right, his words, how he described the food and the people. And it was just warm. It was kind of just so refreshing to hear. You're like, I feel like I'm learning something.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm just, and he seemed
to, his curiosity was connected to a deep love of, like, that exploration.
Yeah.
And he just really wanted to see and learn. And nobody, he wasn't too good for anybody. Like, there was just something really, like, grounded about this guy that was just unbelievable. And again, you know, being a good friend of Joe's, they've been camping together. Like, Joe said that he cried. Yeah, thought about it. He had a cry. I mean, I'd imagine a lot of people have. A lot of people that knew him were touched by him. And a big jiu-jitsu guy, believe it or not.
Oh, really?
I didn't realize that. He attributes jiu-jitsu to, like, saving his life. Like, keeping him clean and...
Wow.
You know,
it's discipline. Yeah, just discipline and that kind of stuff. Yeah. You can't...
He was obsessed, supposedly. Well, they went... The trip that they went on, and there's footage of it, they went, I think, turkey hunting, him and Joe.
Uh-huh.
And it's cool. They're, like, by the campfire, wasted, having a chat. And it was on some... I can't remember what show it was on, but I remember seeing it. It was great.
Oh, that's
Well,
really
that
cool.
was in Bozeman, Montana, and I've been to Bozeman. And actually, to meet a good friend of Joe's that I know up there.
Mm.
So... He, while he was there, he left the campsite, went into Bozeman to find a jiu-jitsu school to train. Oh, like, in the middle of it. Yeah, he just he wouldn't take time off.
Wow, oh, that great. Is, that's really impressive. Yeah. It's very inspiring, too.
Well, you know, yeah. I think these guys, they're obsessive, right? This is how they get so good at what they do.
Yeah.
And that obsession is going to flow into all kinds of different things that they do. It's not like... We just think they're just sitting around on the beach all the time with all their money and their Mai Tais. They're working their ass off.
You know, it's really cool. A friend of mine, Jonas, he does a lot of murals all in town, especially like in Venice. And he just did one of Anthony right off of Wilshire. I think Wilshire 25th. And it was really cool to see TMZ 2 days ago that he's in TMZ with his mural.
Oh, nice.
I was like, talk about publicity.
It's just off of Wilshire? It's like, you can
Wilshire,
see it?
Like Wilshire, I think Wilshire 24th, Wilshire 25th.
Like on the side of a building?
Yeah.
Oh, dude. Yeah.
And
that's fantastic. And what better person to put up there?
Oh, yeah. And I think it's right by a restaurant, too. He put it up right
nice.
By.
Nice. So, man, I got to check that out.
Yeah.
That's
even,
great. Yeah,
even if you go on TMZ, you'll see it on the thing.
But, yeah.
But just
yeah, the, inspiring. You know, Tom and Joe talked about it for a while, and like everyone, I mean, it hit people. And I'm talking about it for a bit here because it hit me, too. It's like, you know,
that.
you don't want to hear anybody do this. But there's certain celebrities you don't want to go, ever. You're like, no.
I felt it myself for like 3 days, definitely. And I was like, I was doing the same thing. I was scratching my head. I'm like, he's like a Chris Cornell. The same, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's like that as far as the cooking. And just you were like, dude, I finally someone I actually look up to. I mean, I'm inspired.
Yeah.
To watch and to learn and go. You know, it was really interesting, you know, especially with his thing. I think he was mid-40s, you know, when he was still cooking. And he was saying, he's like, yeah, he was, you know, didn't have any money. He hadn't paid his taxes in years. He owed everybody money. He was so broke. And then he wrote that article. And then he got a call the next day saying, hey, we're offering you.
Yeah, that was Times, right?
Yeah, it's like that. And they call, I think, hey, we're offering you 50 grand. And he's like, you know, is this a joke? But he literally had zero to his name. And so it was really, if you ever checked it out, it's really inspiring.
Yeah.
And then it's like going, wow, man, you know, this guy's almost in the same boat when you're doing your art, whatever you're into, going, I still have a shot at the title, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Which is still cool.
Well,
you know,
it does raise the question that if you have a talent, like he could write as well as cook, but he could write.
Right.
And you never know. Like, sometimes throw that stuff out there because something sticks. Doing nothing is always going to end in nothing.
Yeah.
But doing some stuff, I mean, it's, wow, look at where he was. In 20 years, he lived many lifetimes, you know? And that candle burnt quick, but...
But just to travel the world for free, basically, and kind of meet amazing people you would never meet from different cultures. And
dude knew everyone.
I mean, could you just imagine how much you would grow as a person?
Yeah.
You know, it's like being in the Peace Corps or something. You're just traveling all over, meeting all these amazing people, and that's got to be heavy on the heart too, you know?
It just breaks my heart, you know, that after all that experience, you go back to the... People carry darkness. You know, yeah. You don't want to look at it. You got to look at it though. Sometimes you can't let it get out of hand to get there. And I mean, this brings us to the next point that they were going on about is the Roseanne stuff. Now we talked about the Roseanne on this podcast a little bit. Roseanne sent that tweet out, that crazy racist tweet that canceled a show. I mean, it sounds like Joe's kind of sticking up for her on there because Joe spoke to her personally on the phone and was like, she said that she didn't know.
Yeah, I remember hearing about that.
But at the time, it's like, well, sorry. I gotta say that it really doesn't make a difference because it was a bad tweet. Now, whether they should have kicked... What do you think about canceling that show immediately? They didn't give her a fuck.
You know, it was interesting. Who knows? Maybe there was some other stuff going on before that. I think some of the writers had quit just prior to that.
Really?
But, you know, they were making so much money on the show. It was doing well. But it's, I'll be honest with you, I was never a big fan. I mean, it's on since I was growing up. But
yeah, honestly, I wasn't going to watch it.
Yeah, I wasn't going to watch it either.
But people were, and I just, like, I wonder why they just jumped on. Like, Are we that afraid? I mean, yeah, sure. You shouldn't send a tweet out that's really fucked.
Yeah.
But I mean, it is one thing. Like, we really on people that quick about things?
Plus, she's a comedian, too, which is interesting. So, if it's a comedian, like, how far can you take it? So
not very far these days,
but certain people, it's interesting. You know, like, certain people, like, I forget the names, but certain people can take it to a certain, you know, extreme where it's like, oh, hey, because it's whatever, people agree with it, or maybe it's just, that's a funny thing.
Yeah,
it's comedy. And then some people take offense to certain stuff where it's just, maybe it's that one person, or maybe they just don't like it. I don't know, but it's amazing.
It's definitely the somebody, like the person who gets the most upset gets upset.
Mm-hmm.
And then they trickle it down to their like army of other people that like to get upset about things.
Exactly,
and that's when they build up momentum. And then people on the sidelines that are just kind of waiting for people to tell them what to get upset about, they're the ones that jump in.
Yeah.
And then beyond that, the people that are just watching where everyone gets upset are like, oh, now we got to act on it. We got to fire those people.
Yeah, exactly.
Or we got to do this, or we got to move away, or we got to end their sponsorship. And
yeah, we upset that group or da-da-da. And then it's like, oh, man. But it's so interesting, especially, you know, growing up, I mean, this silly, stupid things we've heard or even you say as a kid or said to you, I mean, usually it kind of usually go after a certain time, it kind of goes over your head, you know, unless it's really directed at you.
People definitely got away with more in the past.
Oh, completely.
Because the only way we got information like that is a newspaper. The newspaper would report that so-and-so said this.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like we have footage. I mean, it's not like we have whatever. But then you got some people, President Trump, that say and do almost anything, and it's just washed right off. Immediately gone. Like, well, whatever, move on.
Exactly.
It's like how some people can just blow it off. It's unbelievable. He's truly a master at it. Whether you like him or not, he's so good at that. It's unbelievable.
I think as his tweets got so overboard in the beginning, where everyone's like, so it's kind of like he can say anything he wants, and everyone's like, it doesn't
That's all he did was just train us that he can say fucking anything, and now he does it. And now we don't know what's what. But the most important thing is he's made it so he can never get in trouble for saying whatever.
He doesn't
have to be accountable for anything he says, and he runs the world. What?
That's so true. He's like, yeah, so what? I said it. Whatever. Okay.
He's like, I grabbed a couple of pussies. Big deal. Anyway, I'm the president now, so we're going to need to throw a bunch of money into
the military. Now I'm going to go meet North Korea. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, right. First thing he does is grab Kim Jong's pussy. He's it's just a custom in America.
Hey, I called you Rocket Man. I know why now, you know?
That's it. That's hilarious. That is fucking great. Well, let's see. So what else we got? We got Adam Frank. That was the 11:30 guest. Adam Frank was a cool guy. So he's like a scientist. He's a writer. I think he's a theoretical physicist.
Okay.
Which means that he doesn't do any actual physics in a lab. He's not, no electricity. No. Oh, no, no, not a physicist, an astronomer, but like a theoretical one. He doesn't go near telescopes.
Oh, he just kind of,
he does like the math on it. Yeah, he does, I guess it's like statistical understandings. Like once you know, well, you've made an estimate to how big the universe is. It's like, how many damn planets are there, right? How many suns? How many Earth-like planets around these suns? And once he's got the number, which I think for our galaxy alone, he said was somewhere around 10 billion stars or Earth-like planets. I think either way, maybe it's the same.
It's mind-blowing. Wow.
But 10 billion. So his point is, with that many, there has to be life. And like an Earth-like planet, from what he's saying, is one that's a specific distance away from the sun to be what they call the habitable zone. Mm-hmm. It's like a zone where water or ice or whatever is in the liquid state. As long as it's liquid, like life could exist as far as we understand it, right? That kind of makes sense. Not too cold, not too hot, all these things. And so he wrote a book, and the book was, shit, what was the book called? Damn it, I didn't write it down. But the book was just basically about the chances of there being alien life out there. Like, this is the probability of it. And it's so high mathematically, because there's so many planets.
Right.
That you'd be crazy
not to think that there's nothing there.
But the point that Joe brings up is, yeah, but we have zero proof. Which is a fucking good point. Like, we have zero fucking proof. There's nothing. There's no. We don't look up and they're just like, hey, by the way, it's like, here's a quick message. Like,
hey, we're here. Yeah, you see a big...
Well, what's weird about that is it begs the question, think what we've done in 200 years. That really what we've done in 100, right? Mm-hmm. We went from barely being able to fly a plane to nuclear power to landing on the moon. That's fucking bananas.
It's just the thought of it.
So now add 1,000 years to that, which is not long. 1,000 years ago was like the Dark Ages, mm-hmm. right? It was like Vikings and shit. So, you know, they had boats and stuff. I mean, it wasn't... we don't think Vikings and think millions of years ago. We just... It's not that long. 1,000 years. You add 1,000 years to us, what the hell can we do?
Like, we have to be... It's scary to tell you the truth in a way.
We're definitely flying outside of our solar system, no problem, right?
Yeah.
If that... And that's not a stretch to believe that. I mean, we're talking about going to Mars in a few years. So, the solar system in 1,000? Reasonable. Well, then if there's all these fucking planets, then there's got to be aliens. Well, why the fuck aren't they going anywhere? Why are they not going anywhere that we can see?
Maybe they're behind us still. Who knows?
That's really the point, right?
And then so we show up out of nowhere. And we're like, hey.
But then of 10 billion, the chances of us being the ones in the front. Oh,
I don't know.
A lot of pressure, bro.
I don't know about that. I know. Compared to our society, the way some of the people act, you're like. Like, what? Yeah, I know what you mean.
Because then you have to say, if that is true, of the 10 billion planets and of all the alien races, we are the most advanced, and of the most powerful and profitable countries, the United States, and the guy that runs that is Donald Trump. Donald Trump is ahead of all of those things. It's like, hold on a minute. Should we scratch our head? You know, I'm not trying to rag on him, you know. Yeah. I'm not saying, but it brings up an interesting point.
You know, I could just picture them going, hey, we got to show you that we have, you know, over in New Mexico, you know,
Roswell?
Roswell, yeah. And they go show him around, he's looking, and they actually do have aliens, and he's just like, of course, he'd be like, hey, guys, I got to tell the country something.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
oh, there's
like,
no way they're showing Donald Trump any of that.
I know, he would spill the beans in a heartbeat.
He tweeted out. It'd be him, and it'd be a fucking selfie. Him, Kardashian, and fucking two-headed alien. That's it.
How funny is that you have Kim Kardashian in the White House, and they're pardoned
someone? Yeah. Like, but doing real work.
Yeah, I know.
10 years ago, she was blowing some black guy.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, what? I guess she's still blowing some black guy, she was doing it on film, man. Ridiculous.
I mean, what do you got to do to get in the White House these days?
I don't know. I had to get no Trump, I guess, and be popular. That's it.
You know what's funny? Speaking of that whole incident, you know, what was it like? it was like 5-6 months ago, Billy Bush, you know, that whole grabber by the, you know, he was down at the bar. And so he ended up having beers with us. We all got hammered together. It was pretty funny.
With Billy?
Billy Bush.
Billy Bush was there?
He was having a blast. He kept on doing shorties with everybody.
That's crazy that he got so fucked from that.
He got thrown under the bus. Yeah. I mean,
literally, the pussy bus. Like, literally, though. He was like, he tried to separate himself. Trump became president. Billy Bush was the one that lost his job. Now, he's related to the Bushes. So you can decide what you want of his fate. And I'm sure he's doing just fine for himself. But talk
they paid
about
him up,
getting screwed. You know, if he was real smart, he should have hedged his bets and been like, no, I stand by what Trump said, and you know he shouldn't have distanced himself.
Oh, totally.
As soon as Trump became president, he'd probably be doing all right for himself. He'd be a senator now, so who knows, right?
That would be hilarious. Yeah,
that's hilarious that he was down there. That's
He got pretty. He had a bunch of beers. It was pretty funny.
Well, of course, he got five for being the pussy guy. I mean, he's not leaving his house for a while.
We all kept on whispering in his ear. You know what I mean?
He's like,
I hear that every day, but he was cool about it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he has to get used to it. That's how it goes. So, moving back to Adam Franken and his talk about the alien thing. I think the best part of that for me was when they were talking about whether they think that the aliens had ever visited this planet, right? Because, you know, there's all these sightings and then and all these things, right? Well, and I don't know if you've ever seen, you know, the weird lights in the sky and all the rest of it, but they brought up a fascinating point that's so simple, I can't believe I've ever never thought of it. Why do they have headlights? What the hell are they looking at? Why do they need them? If they don't want to be seen, why, they just wouldn't put any lights on there.
That's so true. You just put a big giant headlight.
Exactly. I mean, planes have headlights, but it's not so the planes can see, it's so other planes don't crash into them.
Mm-hmm.
So the UFOs are not exactly worried about us crashing into them, right?
Especially how fast they fly,
yeah. Yeah, it wouldn't make any sense. Like, what are they trying to show us? Oh, by the way, we're here, but you can't ever know we're here. Also don't crash into them.
I mean, where do they get their headlights at?
It doesn't make
O'Reilly's
any sense.
O'Reilly's or something?
Yeah, right.
Hey, I'm walking in. I need a giant headlight.
My bulb's out. Yeah, that's...
I need a giant headlight for a spaceship.
It's the most simple and ridiculous thing. And that was the most hilarious point. And of course, Joe Rogan did a show called... when Joe Rogan questions everything. It was a really great show. I think it was on Sci-Fi. And he looked into, like, UFOs. He looked into Bigfoot. And he would go interview people that fit, and most of it he came out and he's like, it's all horseshit, these people are crazy. Like, he wanted to believe, especially the UFO one, because he's been a big fan for a long time, probably why Adam Frank was on there. Like, he wants to know if something's out there, you know. He's a UFO guy, but the more you look into it, it's just like, seriously, this is bullshit. Like, there is just nothing to it.
I always find it funny when they're like, yes, I was abducted by aliens and I was probed. Do you know what I mean? It's like they just probed you the whole time and then they had their way. And
yeah,
just,
what the fuck are they looking for in people's asses?
And then they send you home?
Yeah. It's like, and then they want to keep doing it? It's like, didn't they find what they were looking for the first time? How many times do they need
to... like that person.
To think that the aliens have like some sort of amnesia. They're like, hey, you remember Jeff's... asshole? No, I don't. Let's grab him again. Let's take another look.
Yeah, we like his farm. He's got a perfect cornfield.
He does.
So, it's ripe this season right now.
It was lumpy in there. We need to look. Yeah, I mean, just it doesn't make any sense. Yeah. It's like these people are fucking out of their minds. And probably in the past, before all the stuff about UFOs, it was probably like abductions of demons. You know, like religious people just thinking that. I mean.
Okay. I always think about the pyramids. I mean, that's so, like, you know, in Egypt, the pyramids. It's just really, how the hell did they get those things up there?
Oh, you're saying, like, did aliens help build them?
Yeah, I mean, it's just so bizarre when you think about
it. Dude, fuck those, right? I mean, it really is such a mastery. Last week he had a guy on, shit, I forgot his name. What is his name? Robert Schock. And he was an Egyptologist.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he's great. He's been on, like, Ancient Aliens and all this. Yeah, he's saying that, like, the Sphinx is way older than it looks like it is. Like, 10,000 years plus, right?
Wow.
Crazy. And, you know, it just... he brings up some great points. He doesn't think aliens built stuff, right? But what he is saying is, how the fuck did they do it? How long would it have taken? Like, the mastery, the craft. I mean, it's about as difficult a task
in the masonry. I mean, just to even keep that thing intact. I mean, how would you even think about, you know what I mean, dude, even doing that?
It's unbelievable. But then, you know, and then fuck it, we landed on the moon.
And then
we're really good at doing stuff when we like get long enough to keep a civilization together. It just shows that there's ups and downs, you know, because the Dark Ages were not anywhere as prosperous as when the Egyptians were building the pyramids, and that was thousands of years later.
True, yeah.
So we can have eras that are gonna, you know, get fucked up. Hopefully with people like Elon Musk, though, we'll hold it together. We need these smart fuckers. Well, the problem is, we think things go on forever, and they always improve. I think shit can get ugly. I think we can Mad Max ourselves pretty quick.
I think that we do it very easily. Just even with technology, it's kind of interesting, too. You know, when you see people walking on the street in Santa Monica, you got all these people, they've got their head in their phone, and you're literally, you know what I mean, they bump into you, and you're like, dude.
Right here. Know, it can happen. Wake up. Yeah.
Oh, God.
Just how much of your life do you want on when people order food and everyone needs to take a picture of it?
Yeah.
It's like, this is happening in all the countries around the world. It's like, before we eat, let's put all of our food for today on Instagram. I would love to know if there's anyone out there that actually sees pictures of people's food and thinks, oh, thank God, my day is better.
Yeah.
Like, who the fuck gives a shit?
I just took a picture of a chili dog. I mean, really.
Oh, wow, look at that burger. Did you see the burger that Johnny had today? I can't believe it. Yeah. Let's send that to a friend. I'm just like,
I thought Johnny was on a diet.
And right? He's never going to lose weight in that condition. Moving over to the MMA show of the week. So Joe had, for his MMA show 31, he had Daniel Strauss and Joe Schilling. They are legends in the fight game. And Daniel is the Bellator world champ, or was. But he recently got in a really bad motorcycle accident. Flipped off his bike, landed under a guardrail, woke up there. Doctors told him he's never going to walk again. You know, unbelievable things. And he has, through good physio and those sorts of things, and just the fact that, let's be fair, he's a world champion fucking mixed martial arts specialist. He's brought himself out of the brink, and he's back to sparring. And, you know, he's a cool, chilled motherfucker, right? Smoking some weed, too, helping him through that pain. Right? But, I mean, he talks about his recovery. He talks about working his way back. I mean, he's a bit of an adrenaline junkie, obviously. The motorcycle thing points in that direction. But to bring yourself back, and now he's positioning himself to, like, go back for the title again. I mean,
that's fucking amazing. Yeah.
I just can't. With everything that you ever have going on, right, it's hard enough when things are okay to keep working in a direction that's going to help you out, right? And then life constantly throws shit at you. It's like it's always just rolling bowling balls at your feet just to trip you up. But I mean, for one bowling ball to come that's the size of you and just squash you for a minute.
Yeah, squash everything about you, yeah.
It seems to make people realign everything about how they do things
and what their life is about.
Yeah, and I think that's how we just reset and get all the bullshit out, and we're like, fuck's sake, I waste all my time complaining.
Yeah, and so much things energy were in and a good negative things, yeah.
It's like, but none of it's even important. You know, you can make all the fuss you want, but if someone chopped your legs off tomorrow, you wouldn't care about those little things. You'd be wishing you could get out and run.
Everything would change, yeah, completely.
Exactly. And I think he just puts it in perspective. And his buddy, Joe Schilling, who's just been one of the toughest competitors forever, has really helped him, Daniel, like, just push along and, like, really kind of keep his head up straight. One thing that I thought was crazy, and think about world champions and sports people as you know it.
Right.
They're not smokers, right? Daniel is. Daniel smokes. He was a smoker when he was a world champion.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Yeah. You would have thought in today's age, like, it just doesn't happen.
Especially everyone, they want to be completely fit and just completely clean their whole system when they're performing.
I mean, especially a fighter, because being fit and like, on peak physical shape is like, you're right on the spear's tip of strike. It's not like you're fucking a world-class curler. You know, you're just over there, like, brushing a thing. If you want to stop for a cigarette, I could be like, all right, I believe that.
Although I do remember that baseball players smoking in the dugout in the 70s.
Is that right?
Yeah, they used to smoke, and a lot of them used to smoke in the dugout.
No shit.
Yeah, then that, a lot of them would also, too, were drinking beer. There's one pitcher, I forget, I think it was the late 70s, he dropped acid and pitched a no-hitter.
Oh, yeah, I heard about that guy.
Can you imagine?
Dude, unbelievable.
I mean, and I know like, the Dodgers, early 80s, late 70s, all those guys were boozing hard, all in the bullpen. I'll get hammered, and they go out there. And
I wonder what that must have been feeling like for him. Did he know it was real life? Like, obviously he knew he was pitching, but yeah. I mean, once you get like 75% through a no-hitter and you're still on acid, are you wondering, is this a dream?
I would be freaking out. I can't imagine. You know, let alone even just every play and you're, it's a physical, obviously, you know, physical sport. So you're like, you got to move. You're just, maybe he was just seeing the zone. I don't know.
Yeah, it and has to be something like that, right?
And it just expanded everything.
He's just like honed in to something just beautiful. I remember watching, what is that show called? 2020? When they do, they do like Bo Jackson had one and like Jordan and the 2020 is like the documentary. But I think they did one for him and I found it really fascinating. I don't remember all of it, but yeah, that guy was like just talking his way through it and how amazing it was.
Thank God he had a good trip. Can you imagine if he had a bad trip out there?
Oh my God, he's trying to eat the ball, sat on the ground crying.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it could have gone ugly.
Do you remember that one fighter who was who was doing crack and then he came down from the crack literally in the middle of the ring. Like I think maybe like in the third or fourth round. You could look it up.
Was it boxing?
Boxing, yeah. And he literally, threw, it was a big championship fight too. And then he just broke down crying like a little child.
And, what?
And literally the fighters, even the referee, everyone's going like, what's wrong? He's this big like heavyweight black dude. And he just starts crying, bawling like a little child. And like literally the other fighter's like, what? I mean, I'm going to hit a... It was crazy. Yeah, check it out.
No way. Yeah, I'm pulling it up right now.
Yeah.
Boxer cries.
Boxer cries and put crack, too.
Things that I'm searching. Boxer cries, crack.
Yeah.
Are you sure it was crack?
Yeah.
All right. Let's see what we got.
Crack cocaine.
Any of this?
This one? The truth behind the biggest melt. Oh, I think that's it right there.
Boxing history. All right. Pull it up.
He just started weeping like a little, like a biatch.
Let's see what it says. How weird is that? What, did they not test for like crack in it?
I think he smoked a bunch. Cause
I feel like crack is a bad idea you're boxing a heavyweight championship.
Yeah, especially
fight.
How you come down so quick. I mean, maybe if you did meth, I guess like the lunatics on the beach, right? But yeah, he just...
It doesn't seem to be loading up.
Oh, okay.
But that's okay.
But check it out, yeah.
Yeah, but I'll check it out. That's wild. That's so wild. Yeah. Well, just, you know, I guess it doesn't look so bad that Daniel smokes if people in the past have done crack,
well,
right?
The funny thing is that he literally came down, so the coach, and his coach didn't know, I guess, and apparently he found out that night that he had a crack problem.
What?
And, but can you imagine smoke crack before you go out there to a fight? And then you're coming down crashing, and you're just, oh my God. It's just the thought. It's just
that's insane.
Grosses me out.
I couldn't even imagine. I have no idea how to use an iPad properly anyway. Yeah. The last guest that they had on the podcast for week 24, Dave Rubin, right? Dave Rubin, are you familiar with Jordan Peterson? Jordan Peterson is a psychologist that taught at, I believe, a Toronto university, and he got swept up in all this pronoun business.
Oh, God.
Right? And he refused to respond to these people in their selected pronouns, even though in Canada they made that the law. And he said this is the beginning of like a Marxism, fascism, like it's bad.
Oh yeah,
you
I agree.
Start controlling what people can say and not say and making that the rule, like ugly things really start to happen. And he's a very smart, well thought out person, and he started to lay down really like the steps. Like it seems like it's just one step, right? And it's not a big deal. But these steps all build on top of each other.
And that's how they do it.
And then it's like who's controlling who says what. And before you know it, you can't say anything that disagrees with the powers that be. And they're the ones that make the rules. So they're choosing who can say whatever, almost governing law, you know, and it just gets out of hand.
Well, there's a bunch of different universities. I think in San Francisco too, I'm sure you know that they have where they have like a timeout rooms for the kid, for the grown adults. You know, they have cran rooms in case they have an attack. They have all these different kind of. Oh, is that it going?
No, I was going to learn, but it
didn't. But it's no. I mean, you're supposed to go to college to kind of learn and kind of grow some kahunas, you know. And not go there and be babied.
Yeah, something like that.
That's what happens when you're in kindergarten.
You got to learn how to live in society. Mm-hmm. But now they're going and they're making up the rules, right? The kids in the colleges are. Oh, yeah. And they want to decide.
But Ryan, let's say you go to a doctor, right? And you're like going, hey, da-da-da. And let's say you're a female, but you're like, you know, I identify as a male. And they're like, well, just so you know, you have your... It's that time of the month for you, but I don't identify with that. But, you know, but biologically, you're a female. You know what I mean? You can be pregnant. And, you know, there's no reason that me and you can't be pregnant. So it's kind of like, well, maybe it's a tummy ache. I don't know. Obviously, you know what I mean? But it's, you can call anything you want.
Yeah.
It's like,
well, here's the thing. And here's where Jordan is on it. It doesn't really matter what the people feel or what they want. I'm happy to support them. And so is he. It's like, it's fine. If you don't think that you're something and you want to think that you're something else, or you do believe it and it is true, then good. Then express it. But don't require me to name you something else.
Of course, yeah.
Right? By law. I can still call you whatever, you know. Exactly. You just can't force that. And I mean, it wasn't a question of like change. Like, I can't just, you know, it's not polite if your name is Eddie for me to call you Sally. It's just rude and unnecessary.
Unless I have a wig on.
But if you want to be Mrs. Whoever, and you're clearly a Mr., or even if you're not, and you require it, like if I say anything other than Mrs. to you, then you like can question me on it. Like, what am I, a Mr. or a Mrs.? Like, requiring me, almost tricking me into that position. Yeah. So anyway, long story short, this guy is now got a lot of publicity, right? He's written a great book called 12 Rules, which I've read, and it's fantastic. Definitely check it out.
Mm-hmm.
It's these essays of life, like how to act, how to respond to things, how to be a man, how to like understand responsibility and be with, you know, raise kids and be agreeable and just like useful things for life, that like a nice guide. And now he's on a lecture tour going all around the country, selling things out. And Dave Rubin, who's a comedian, but also like a libertarian and, you know, somewhat kind of a, you know, he's a well thought out individual, opens up for Jordan.
Okay.
So he opens, comes out, does some comedy, because there's these packed auditoriums, you know, there's like a good amount of people in there, a few thousand maybe. So he'd do a bit of that. And he was coming on just to talk about, you know, kind of what they're coming up against and how positive everyone is. Because with Jordan's stance, he has... he's very honest and direct about the way that he speaks. So he'd talk about an issue in the sense of like, this is a good way for a man to be, and when he's married, you know, these are the advantages of being with a wife. And then also this is men and women working together in the workforce is fairly new. So we're not 100% sure how to act around each other. That's why we get all these sexual harassment cases and these other things. He's not saying that we shouldn't or that it's wrong or women should do this or men should do that. He's just pointing out what happens and explaining why we're struggling with it. But people love to jump on his case, people that love to hate him, and say things like, well, he's a chauvinist. And he doesn't respect, well, you know, so what these guys are doing is going out and trying to explain their like, position.
You know, Ben Shapiro's like that as well.
Yeah, they're actually, Ben and Jordan Peterson are good friends.
I like looking at his stuff because he puts it in a common sense and pretty much lays down facts where people are like, but I'm just giving you common sense how it is, you know what I mean? How, just in general, yes.
Yeah, it's almost like pointing out something that we can quantify as like, and quantifying it is like, it's as truthful as we know it to be, right? Statistically speaking, men do this job. Statistically speaking, women do these jobs. And by pointing it out for someone to jump on your case and say you're sexist, you're like, I just brought the information.
it's kind of like saying, you know, where someone's like, hey, look at that rattlesnake. I'm going to pet the tail. Well, common sense, you know what I mean? It's that kind of common sense where, well, you kind of go by, you pet the tail, you're gonna get bit. But it's interesting when they have like on YouTube. I look at, you know, what do you call it, fails, you know, so it kind of just kind of, they'll bring up a you know, they kind of ride him for something, and he just kind of nicely, but he points out the facts.
Yeah,
this is,
well, Shapiro's great for it. Yeah. Jordan Peterson's great for it.
I gotta look at
this
stuff. Yeah,
Sam Harris is really good. It's just like, there's just a group of people out there right now that have a big voice with podcasts. Okay. Just like this, they were inspiring me, they're inspiring you to come on, and we're doing a podcast about a popular podcast that has all these guys on. I mean, it's a wave of like information, and it's just a really nice group that is channeling this focused information. Like you said, it's common sense, but somebody needs to put the shit together.
Someone needs to say it.
Put, someone like, smarter than me and you, which is plenty of people, they need to, they're coming together, they put all this info, and then they bring it down the pipeline, and it's coming through in podcasts.
Oh,
and we listen to it,
yeah,
and we're like, thank God.
Well, it's a breath of fresh air, because you won't hear that on regular TV.
Oh, it's exhausting to figure all this information out on your own.
It's almost like when you're out here in LA, you watch some of these car chases for 2-3 hours, right? And it's kind of like going, you know, like, it's very easy to stop this guy. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
But you're disrupting the whole city. There's kids out there playing. There's grandmas on the road. And you're literally kind of, you know, there's so much can happen out there. All the other innocent people, right? What's, like, I'm from Chicago. In Chicago, they're like, well, we'll just take care of this right away. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
What do you call it? And, but it's interesting out here watching this. They drag it on. And then even to the end, finally, the guy gets out and lays down. He's like, you know, I'm good. But it was like all that drama for nothing.
Mm-hmm.
You could have, you know.
Well, I'm guaranteed. You look at that guy, he's had no decent role models. They're not the ones that are, you know. And that's the thing. We don't have enough of them. We don't have enough great people to look up to, and that's why it's great to have these opportunities and to be able to listen to these great people, and that's why I comment on it, that's why I talk on it. I love it. I'm glad that we have the chance to do this. Well, let's wrap this bitch up. Thank you so much Adam
for
being in, and we'll do this again, brother. Enjoyed it.
Great, me too.
Thanks a lot, guys. So podcast 4 is going to come out fairly soon. Again, we're going to be knocking one of these out every week, and yeah, we'll see what else is going on in this crazy world. See you, fuckers.